You remembered this morning, didn't you?
He didn't care.
There it's right next to Malachi. And then Mark. All over the place. Hymns. Okay, Matthew chapter 8. Chapter 8. And we're on start at the beginning. So chapter 1, Matthew 8, chapter 8, verse 1 and all the way through 2. Would you like to read that? Yeah, all right. Give it 1 second. Everybody's there. I think everybody's got it. We're good.
When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.
All right. So when Jesus, that's who we're talking about, correct? When Jesus came down from the mountain, a leopard came down and worshiped him. A leopard. You know, well, Jesus is, you know, has all dominion and authority over all living creatures, right? So it kind of makes sense a leopard would want to worship him, right? Oh, where's Brendan? Oh. Yes, you have double duty today. You missed the verses. And then there's one image. Yes, that was the verses. Then there's an image of a leopard. So a leopard, he came down and praising God, right? He's praising God. He's worshiping God. Is that correct?
No.
No. What? What do you mean? It says leopard, right? Oh, leper. Oh, leper. So what's a leper?
It's like a disease.
No, a leper. So there's another image.
Okay,
yeah. This is the actual picture. I mean, this is what a leper can actually look like. I mean, there's different things, and you guys are right. It's a long-term infection. Sometimes it lasts it could last 20 years, this infection. You know, it affects the nerves, the respiratory tract, the skin, the eyes. All of them mostly have very poor eyesight. The results of all those attacks, it gives them the ability to feel no pain, which might sound kind of cool, but if you can't feel pain, if you like injure or cut your finger, and then because it's the extremity off your body, you don't know how bad that infection is. So if it gets cut and then infection gets worse, they actually lose. A lot of them would lose fingers, or still do, lose fingers, lose noses, lose ears, because they'd hit them on things and they don't feel, so they'd hit it. They could hit them hard on things and get cut and bruises. So, I mean, they're pretty, I mean, you could really tell the difference, right? If you saw that person walking down the street. You know, and it's mainly because of unsanitary situations. And back then, obviously, here in America, you know, we got all of our antibacterial soap and everything, so you don't see this problem. But back then, everybody in Bible days would know who you're talking about and know the situation, what it is. So it was very common. You know, back in the Bible days, depending on the version of the Bible you're reading, it's mentioned up to 40 times, leprosy. It's mentioned 40 times. Now, if you were suspected to have leprosy, what you'd have to do, you'd have to go get a priest to look at you. and just look at you because he would not touch you. He would not touch you because if he would touch you, he'd mean that he was unclean. If just by touching you. You know, a leper wasn't allowed to be within 6 feet of anybody, any other human person, including their family, including friends. And the disease was so considered so revolting that they weren't even permitted to be within 150 feet if the wind was blowing. You know, they didn't really have, you know, hazmat suits. So it was an infectious disease, right? And they don't know, but most scientists believe that it's passed on with, you know, coughing and stuff like that. So they didn't want to take any chances. So if the priest looked at you and decided and pronounced you unclean, that'd be if you had leprosy, you'd be pronounced unclean. You were tossed out of the city. You were cut off from everyone you knew. Work, your home, you had nothing. You know, no one was to touch you. You're only allowed to hang out with other unclean people. Leprosy was an incurable disease to man. You know, a lot to take in, right? If somebody was to be claimed, oh, well, you're unclean. It'd be a lot to take in. You know, on the side of having a really bad day, right? A really bad, depressing day. You know, one might go through some denials. You know, why is this happening to me? I'm not that bad. You know, holding on the hope that if I drink more water, God, if I drink more water, if I eat right, if I exercise, I'll just be fine. I could be fine on my own power. But the disease won't take long to spread, destroying hope, leaving you feel like you're stuck like that forever. You know, self-help books, medication, exercise, wearing fancy clothes. You know, you could try to mask the ugliness, you know, on the outside, but the ugliness was still on the inside. You know, but you could only deny facts so long. You know, but there is good news. There was good news. It's that same good news that somebody must have told the leper way back then. Somebody told him about Jesus. Right? Somebody had to tell him about Jesus. Somebody took a risk and went outside the city and saw him. Saw him and talked to them. They told the leper about Jesus and who he is. Igniting hope again. Where there was none. You know, there's a man named Jesus, they might have said. They might have said, oh, some people call him a prophet. Some say he's a good moral teacher, a faith healer. Some say he's the Messiah, the Holy One of God. You know, he's going around the country casting out demons from people, making blind eyes see, laying hands on people, and they were healed. Right? These are the things that they probably told the leper what was happening. But right then, perhaps the devil sneaks in at those moments. The devil sneaks in trying to snatch hope away again. The devil whispering lies like you're unsavable. The Jewish healer will not lay hands on you. He can't lay hands on you. You're unclean. He will never, ever sacrifice himself for you. He wouldn't touch you because then he'd be unclean. He won't be unclean for somebody with the likes of you. But the leper probably thought, but what if he's more than this, that faith healer, a smooth talker, more than just a good teacher? What if he is who he says he is? Something in that testimony, the testimony of Jesus, must have stirred the leper's heart to believe and have faith in Jesus. Had faith that Jesus could help him, that he might even do it for him. The faith that picked up that leper and dared him to go to the city and find Jesus. Now, we could imagine that leper, right? Was he allowed into the city? He wasn't allowed in the city, right? He was probably looking somewhat like a zombie, right? If all seen zombies, or at least movies. But these were real life people. You know, stumbling around the city searching for Jesus. Around every corner, trying not to be noticed. Because if he was found out, he'd be forced outside. He was going out of his way. He was willing to do whatever it took, going out of his way, going through difficulties in order to get to Jesus. Then he sees a crowd off in the distance. You know, that crowd. Maybe Jesus is in the middle of that crowd. So he makes his way into that crowd, right? Trying to make his way to Jesus. People just getting out of his way. Maybe people running out of his way, right? Because they don't want anything to do with him. Scared of him. You know, disgusted by him. He falls at Jesus' feet. And at that moment, what do you say to the Lord? Well, he chose, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This shows absolute humbleness on the leper's heart, right? It shows humbleness in that God's will be done. God's will has perfect timing. It also shows faith. He says, you can make me clean. He believed in Jesus' authority. He knew Jesus had all the authority, that he can do it. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 3, Cassie? Can you read that? So you remember what I said, that the priest, when they examined somebody, would they touch them with leprosy? No. But Jesus reaches out his hand and touches the man who is untouchable. Somebody who everyone else had written off. Somebody who the devil told them was not good enough. Jesus did not see it that way. Jesus didn't see it that way at all. You know, Jesus has tremendous amount of grace. You know, this was a huge demonstration of God's love, of God's forgiveness. You know, people get trapped in their sin. And seeing somebody with leprosy, you'd think that there's no way, there's no chance they don't get out of that. But Jesus doesn't see it that way. You know, he's willing to forgive and cleanse those who are in sin. In 1 Corinthians, you might want to keep your finger in Luke, I mean Mark, or Matthew. shouldn't even have said that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 13. Nick, can you read that? You know, there is a way out. There is a way out. You know, people need to know that they're in trouble. People need to know that things aren't right. People need to know that they need help. You know, confessing their sins and going to Jesus for that help. That's our way out. That is always a way out. There might be, you might think of other ways, and maybe God provides a different way out for certain situations, but that is always the number one way out, is God, is Jesus, is our way out. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 4, you want to read that? Michaela, would you like to read that? Sure. Testimony. Nice. All right, so Jesus asked this former leper to tell no one, right? To don't tell anyone but about being healed, and go tell the priest that you're no longer has leprosy, right? So why? I mean, God said we're to share him with everybody, right? Does anybody have a reason why? Why you think? Possibilities? Anything? Thoughts? What do you think they're talking about here? Is it important? Is it not important? Have you ever thought about when it says it? It says this kind of thing a couple different places in the Bible. Ever read that before? Okay, I feel like there's a couple possibilities, all right? And we'll go through them. You know, have you ever gotten so excited about something, right? Have you ever gotten so excited about something? Something you got? And then that excitement distracts you from doing what's actually the important part? Have you ever done that? Kind of, yeah, sometimes. You know, perhaps on December 25th, you're opening up a Christmas gift, right? And it's that Christmas gift you've all wanted all year long, and you start playing with it right away. You don't even care about the other gifts. You're playing with that one, and you forget to tell your parents thank you. You know, type of things. So you know, there's offerings and gifts for being healed from leprosy. In the back in the Bible days, there's traditions and there is offerings and gifts that they needed to present to the priest for being healed for leprosy. And this is very important. And it would be a testimony to the priest about showing that Jesus is who he says he is, the Messiah, the Son of God, God, right? Now, Jesus did not, if you notice, he did not say, oh, never tell anybody about being healed. He didn't command him to never tell anybody about being healed. He just wanted him to go to the priest first. You know, there's this whole set of rules. And if we go through Leviticus, we can read those rules, but there's this whole set of rules of when you get healed from leprosy. You need to bring gifts and sacrifices on that first day. The first day when the priest claims that you are clean. And then you need to wait 7 days, and then on the eighth day, you bring more gifts. Just thanking God that, you know, he has forgiven you. You know, this all stems from Myrrh. Anybody here? Wait. Myrrh? I think it's Myrrh. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. Anybody heard of her in the Bible? You're looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. Miriam. Yeah, that's it. Myrrh, Miriam. Same thing, right? So if you've heard of her, right? Oh, Miriam. Okay. So nobody knows who she is, right? So she's the sister of somebody famous. He did this crazy thing where he rose his stick and a sea was parted, something like that, something little like that. So he was the sister of whom? Moses? Right. She was the sister of Moses. She was also the sister of Aaron, right? Her brother. Another brother. So Miriam, as crazy as I thought about that, I pronounced it right somewhere else, but was talking against Moses. And God was not happy. He wasn't happy that she was talking bad about the man he chose to lead them. You know, and then God parted from their presence. And Miriam was left with leprosy. It is never good if God departs from us. It's never good, right? It's never a good sign. But Moses had forgiveness in his heart, and he asked God to forgive her. You know, he didn't blame her. He wanted God to forgive her. And God did, but she did have sin, and there was a price. So God left her with leprosy, but only for 7 days. You know, she was put out of the camp for 7 days, and after that, she was allowed back in. That's where we kind of get... They get these rules from situations that they've gone through and how they treated, you know, something like that. Leprosy is as serious. It's only second as far as the number of rules to it as a dead body, because if they touch a dead body, they'd be unclean also. The second possibility to why Jesus wanted him to tell nobody and go straight to the priest, we find in Mark. So if we turn to Mark chapter 1, Mark chapter 1, verses 44 and 45. Brendan, can you read that? So Mark gives us a little bit more or a little bit different insight than Matthew, right? It's the same account, same things happening, and it's the same story, but he just gives a little bit more than what Matthew saw. You know, Matthew is saying this, Mark just added this little bit. But what he does tell you is that the leper didn't go straight to the priest, right? He did not obey Jesus. And what happened because he didn't do that? Brendan, what happened because he didn't do that? Didn't go straight to the priest. He just went out and started talking to everybody. Jesus was, you know, because everybody was just like coming, right? It's kind of like if you found out somebody at Walmart was giving $100 to anybody who was around him and he was still at Walmart, would you guys want to go to Walmart? Yeah. Yeah, there'd be a lot of people at Walmart, right? There'd be a lot of people trying to, oh, hey. You know, Jesus performed many, many miracles, but he's much, much more than just a miracle worker, right? He's much, much more. You know, were all those people coming to Jesus because they believed and had faith that he was God? Or were they just kind of just doing it because of a free handout, maybe? You know, but it also says that he could not even go into the city. You know, maybe there was somebody that really needed him inside the city, but now he's not able to go in the city because there's so many people just trying to get something from him. Maybe for the right reasons, maybe not for the right reasons. You know, and it also poses up a question is maybe this would turn the heads of the religious leaders to him a little bit sooner than what was supposed to, and when he was going to get, you know, crucified. So maybe this would have jumped up the timeline. You know, I mean, God had everything in control and he knew what was going to happen, but we need to follow and obey God. I just wanted to point that out because, you know, just because he says that he didn't, you know, it kind of might sound odd, but there's reasons. Sometimes we don't understand everything that God, or all the reasons God does this or does that, or why his will wants this done first, but there is a reason. There is a reason for it, and it is perfect in a perfect timing. We need to realize that. In Luke, so we're going to the right. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 10 through 13. Elena? You know, it's kind of crazy. This weekend we just saw, I don't know, it's just these videos. This guy would like, well, he says it's educational, but he lets things bite him and sting him. I don't know. Yeah, kind of wilderness guy. Yeah, yeah. I mean, but there's this centipede. Literally this long is the desert, actually in Arizona. Oh, he couldn't take it. It's like the most painful, the second most painful thing he ever had bite him. But, right, it was a Gila monster. So, both in Arizona, yes, we live in a dangerous place. But, you know, what kind of father would do that? There you go. You want an egg? Here you go. You have a scorpion. Same thing. Go ahead, eat up. Right? You know, that wouldn't be a very good father, right? Hopefully none of your fathers did that to you.
Yep.
He did. But Jesus is a good, good father, right? He's our Father in heaven, and he'd never do that to you, right? He'd never give you a stone when you ask for bread. You know, even if we come to him and we've totally screwed up, even if we're so deep into wrong, into sin, he will never turn us away. He will never turn us away. Let's turn to Psalms. Psalms 91, verse 2. It's a lot of Psalms. 91, verse 2. Elijah, would you like to read that?
I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust.
This last Wednesday, we heard about a lot about prayer, right? And praying to our Heavenly Father. You know, when we pray to God, we enter into his fortress, his safe spot, right? We can feel safe when we're praying to him. And we can come to him freely and openly about anything. Anything that we're dealing with, any troubles we have, and he's always there. He always has a shoulder to cry on, an ear to listen. He's there for us. He'll never forsake us. So go to him, you know. There's always that way out. Jesus is the way.